Amen. Well, it is good to see everybody today. I hope you all have been having a good weekend. I know that there's been some fireworks setting off. Y'all had any fireworks set off in y'all's neighborhoods? Huh? Had some fireworks, see some fireworks going on. And I like fireworks. I like to watch them. But there's one member in my household that doesn't like them too well. That's Ruby. That's our dog. How many of y'all have dogs? How many of your dogs have been going crazy over the last several days hearing those fireworks go off? Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. But we've had a good weekend. I hope you all have had a good weekend to celebrate a holiday. And I hope you've been able to maybe make some phone calls, if not spend time with some family. But we're going to be continuing in our series in 1 Peter. And as we look at that, we're gonna see what Peter says to us as believers. So I know Peter wrote this to specific churches and a group of believers, but guess what? He also wrote it to us, and God has a word to say to us this morning. What do you think? So if you would stand for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to read the first 10 verses. Peter writes, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful. Thankful for your word that you speak to us, God. Lord, that what Peter says to these Christians, you're saying to us today. Lord, help us to see you for who you are, for what you have accomplished, and who you have made us to be. Help us to see that you are the stone of sacrifice. And because of that, you have called us to be stones of sacrifice. Lord, help me to preach plain today, so plain that a child could understand. I do realize that out of all the people in the house this morning, that there is strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So on July 4th, 1776, the United States of America was birthed, and the American people celebrated their independence from the tyranny of Great Britain. This would not have been possible if it were not for those who fought for our freedom, who bled for our freedom, and who died for our freedom. This sacrifice helped create one of the greatest nations that has ever existed in history. And though America may be flawed, and though America is not perfect, as there are no perfect governments, she's still beautiful. And I still love that I live in America. And I'm glad to be a citizen of the United States of America. Amen. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else in this world. And I am thankful that God has blessed this nation to be able to be a beacon and a lighthouse to the nations. Through America, the gospel has gone out throughout the entire world. And though there are room for improvements, as there are room for improvements in all areas of life, amen, I'm still glad to be an American. I'm glad that I'm free. I'm glad that I live in a great nation, and I am thankful for the men and women who have fought and still fight to keep that freedom alive. Amen? But can I tell you about a greater freedom this morning? Can I tell you about someone who started a nation that is greater than the United States of America? Can I tell you about a stone that was set that was precious in the sight of God? His name is Jesus, and he died on a Roman cross, was placed in a buried tomb, rose again on the third day, and birthed a nation called his people, his church, that will never end. That Jesus started a revolution that has changed the world and will change your eternal destiny. Though you're an American, you will die. But if you are a believer, you will never die. I'm glad to be a citizen of heaven. What about you? We can celebrate today the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus because he is the stone of the greatest sacrifice. By his sacrifice, by his bloodshed, by his death, we have been forgiven, we have been set free, we have been pardoned, we have been promised, we have a home in heaven, we have been guaranteed that our salvation is secure in his hand, that when we die, we were with him forevermore. I think that's a reason to celebrate. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Let's look at what Peter is writing and telling us about this great stone. Look at verse 4. We're going to look at verse 4, then we'll jump back to verse 1 here in just a moment. But look at verse 4. He says, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. He's talking about Jesus, who is the stone, the chosen one. For it stands in Scripture, he says, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. Let's just stop right there for a moment. You see what he's saying? He's saying that what Jesus did, he came to bring us and deliver us out of the bondage of our sin to set us free. Jesus said, I came to set the captives free. We were bound by our sin. We were dead in our sin. But through Jesus, he made us alive together. Right? And for those who believe in him, we have no reason to fear. We have no reason to shrink back. It is to our honor, meaning it's to our benefit. Jesus' death was to our benefit. That what he did on the cross made atonement for us. And those of us who are now believers, who believe in what Jesus did and confess what Jesus did, receive what Jesus did, therefore now when Jesus returns, which he's going to, we have confidence and assurance, and we don't need to be afraid, and we don't need to shrink back. We can look forward to his coming. It's to our benefit. Amen? But for those who don't believe, Peter says, it is an offense because he was the stone, the capstone, the cornerstone, the stone that the whole building's built around. He became a stumbling block. He was rejected by men. And they refused to call upon the name of Jesus. So therefore, his claims were offensive to them. How dare you say you're the Son of God? They picked up stones, wanted to stone him because he claimed to be the Son of God. So there are those who hear the gospel and hear what Jesus did, and it's not a message of hope. It's not a message of redemption. It's a message of condemnation and rejection. It happened in Jesus' day, and guess what? It still happens today. There are some people who are just opposed to the gospel. Paul says it this way, that every time the gospel is preached, there is an aroma, a fragrance that goes out. And some people, when they smell it, it's pleasing. What? There's a God who sent his son to die for me? I can be forgiven of my sin? I can be made right with a holy God? I can be promised eternity in heaven. Man, that smells good. I need that. I need to be saved. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. While there's others, when the gospel goes out, the fragrance of the gospel goes out, they smell that and they go, you calling me a sinner? How dare you call me a sinner? Now, I might not be perfect, Pastor, but I'm not a sinner. Now, what big the defer? The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that there is none righteous, no, not one. Everyone needs a Savior, but some people are opposed to that. Jesus laid down his life so that you can be forgiven. If you trust in Jesus, you can be saved. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. Well, I don't like that preacher. That's narrow-minded. You mean to tell me there's only one way to heaven? Surely, surely in this sophisticated world, you are more open-minded than that. But Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And so Jesus makes a claim that if you want the kingdom, you have to come through me. I am the door. I am the gateway. Not only am I the door, I am the way. Not only can I give you life, I am the life. Not only do you need to believe in truth, I am the truth. So it's through me that you have eternal life. I don't like that preacher. And there will be many who will stumble over that. And that offense will cost them salvation. And when Jesus returns and comes back, they won't have confidence. It will not be to their honor. No, instead it will be to their shame. For they have rejected the Son of God. And so Peter says, for you who are believers, I want you to know this stone, this precious stone, this stone that was chosen from the foundation of the world, Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. He has provided you pardon and forgiveness and mercy. That's to your benefit. That's to your good. That's for you to celebrate. And because of that, it changes who we are and how we live. Let's go back up to verse 1. Now, verse 1 is a continuation of what Peter was teaching us last week, that we have been saved, and because we've been saved, then it changes who we are. So back in verse 1, he says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Put all those stuff away, because we are a new creation. The old you is gone. Paul says it like this: take off the old man and put on the new man. We've got a new wardrobe as believers. We've got new clothes to wear. It's called the robes of righteousness that was placed on us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so therefore we take off the old stuff. So we take off anger, hatred, bitterness, evil desires, lust, pride, all of those, malice, deceit, speaking evil of others, slandering, what he says, take those off, but instead, so take those away, get rid of that. Instead, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up unto salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Peter does this a few times in this letter. Kind of just checks us. It's kind of like a just a little check. If indeed you really have been saved, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is, if you are a believer, if you've truly been born again, then there should be a desire in you to long for the pure spiritual milk. That is the word of God. That word long there means crave. It means to crave. Have y'all ever craved something? Huh? I tell you, I was during this, we call this COVID, and all this, everything shut down. I couldn't get Chinese for a long time. I mean, y'all like some Chinese food. I like some Chinese food. And I'm sitting there, I'm craving my bourbon chicken. I don't think that's alcohol now. I don't know if it's, I don't know, but I'm craving my bourbon chicken, my fried rice. I need it. I'm craving it. And every time I drive, I go, oh, well, I'm about to get me going. Don't start me back here. Don't get me going. I won't be able to stop. I had this craving, right? You have this craving. Well, we all experienced that. Peter says, that's how a Christian should feel about the Word of God. You should have a craving, a longing for it. And I got to know what the Bible says about it. I got to get in the Word of God. I got to drink because as an infant knows, an infant is dependent upon that milk for nourishment, for strength. We are dependent on the Word of God for our spiritual growth. If we're going to grow, we got to feast and feed on God's Word. And we got to know what He says and obey it and apply it to our life. We've got to live in the Word, walk in the Word, read the Word, follow the Word. And guess what? Jesus is the Word. This Bible points us to who Jesus is so that we can follow Him and live our lives to magnify His name, right? And so long for that, crave for that, if you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Peter was probably referencing and in his mind thinking of Psalm 34:8 when he wrote these words as well. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? That's a rhetorical question. The obvious answer should be, well, everyone seeks that and wants that. Notice what the psalmist says. Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and what? Pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. How many of you all have experienced that in your life? How many of you all have went through a dark moment, a midnight of the soul, a storm cloud of life, and you've said, I know I don't have the strength to go through this, but somehow, some way, I'm making it through. How's this happening? By the grace of God. You see, the Lord is with us in the good times and in the bad times. And when life is difficult, when life is hard, when life is disappointing, when life is chaotic, when the world is all in turmoil, guess what? The God who is over all still has us in the palm of His hand. And He gives us peace that passes all understanding. Oh, I've tasted and seen the Lord. He is good. Amen. How many Christians out there right now and in Facebook, how many of y'all can put some likes out there that I've tasted and I've seen that the Lord is good? Say amen. So as we tasted and as we experienced Him, then He says to crave Him. Then verse 5, look at verse 5. You yourselves, now he's talking to believers, right? So Peter's talking to believers. He's talking to Christians. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, then guess who he's talking to? You, right? So Peter's talking to you. Yeah, and I know he wrote this to a specific church, but he also wrote it to you. So he's writing this to us. These words that was true for as true to them as it is for us today. And so you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. So we have the stone, the cornerstone was who?
Jesus.
All right, I got to have more than just the front row know that answer. The cornerstone is who?
Jesus.
That's the cornerstone. And then he says, like you, like living stones, okay? So there is Jesus was the stone of sacrifice, but he calls us to be stones of sacrifice. You, like living stones, are being built up. That's in the active, it's It's happening. It's in process, right? Are being built up. So crave the pure spiritual milk to grow up in your salvation. You're being built up. You're being built up into a spiritual house. What kind of house? It's a holy house. It's God's house. It's God's temple. Paul says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That the Holy Spirit lives in you? That the presence of God lives in us? That we are the temple? Our body is a temple. We are a living stone that's being placed around the cornerstone. Being built up to what? For what purpose? There's two purposes here that he says we're being built up in his spiritual house. Number one, to be a holy priesthood. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. To be a holy priesthood. So we are stones of sacrifice acting as priest of God. So this is Old Testament language, isn't it? In the Old Testament, you had the Levitical priesthood, right? So when Moses was given the law, the Lord set aside one tribe to be the priest, right? The Levites. No other man from any other tribe could be a priest. Only the men from the tribe of Levi could serve as priest. And so when Moses is anointing Aaron and the Levitical priesthood, they make a sacrifice. And as he takes the blood of that sacrifice, he takes some blood and applies it to the right earlobe, to the right thumb, and to the right toe, signifying that that man has been consecrated by the sacrificial blood set apart to do God's work. That that man's life was dedicated fully to the work and the ministry unto God. Does that make sense? And so when Peter says, now you are a holy priesthood. Whoa, something's happened. Something's changed. What is it? The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he became the final and ultimate sacrifice. Amen? And when he died on the cross, what significant thing happened in the Holy of Holies? Y'all remember? The curtain of the Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom, saying, I'm breaking through. I'm allowing now access to me through my Son. And as Jesus rose again, so that's why everything is through Christ Jesus. Everything we do to honor God the Father is through his Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we want to honor the Father, we have to honor the Son. If we want to pray to the Father, we pray through the Son. Everything goes through the Son because he's the sacrifice. And if we're priests, we come unto him through Christ, unto God. And we're a holy priesthood. So we have had the blood of Jesus applied to our life through our conversion. It's called the new birth. Amen? So as a new creation, as a new child of God, the blood of Jesus has been applied to our ear, to our thumb, to our toe, all around us. Why? All of our faculties are changed by God. What I hear, what I see, what I say, what I think. The blood should be applied to all of that. It should change everything, my perspective of how I view life, how I think about things, how I speak to people, what I listen to, my hands, what I do, ought to be the blood's been applied to my activity. All of my work, my parenting, my marriage, everything that I do has the blood of Jesus applied to it because I'm acting as a priest. I don't just put my priestly robes on Sunday morning and say, okay, I'm going to be holy today. Because it's not just a one-day experience, is it? It's every day I put on the clothes that Jesus has given me, and I walk in those. Why? Because my foot has been applied by the blood of Jesus. The blood's been put on my toe to anoint the path that I walk. So wherever I walk, I'm to be a priest of God. The paths that I walk in ought to be godly paths. Proverbs says to keep your eyes fixed straight. Do not veer to the right or to the left. Keep our eyes focused on the path of what Jesus would have us to do. Amen? We're acting as priests of God. Priests of God, what do priests of God do? They make sacrifices. We are to make sacrifices. As priests of God, as living stones, we are to be stones of sacrifice. So we make sacrifices every day. Well, what kind of sacrifices do we make? Well, we don't make animal sacrifices anymore, do we? We don't go kill the blood of bulls and goats, because all of that was foreshadowing the reality of who Jesus was. The Old Testament is a type and foreshadow of the things to come. And all of those were foreshadowing what Jesus was to do. Now, as believers that we've been born again, we've had the ultimate sacrifice given, the stone of sacrifice. He calls us to be stones of sacrifice. What are those sacrifices that we can make? Let's talk about some of those. Number one, a broken spirit. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. A broken spirit. Humility. Conviction. If we sin against a holy God and he convicts us of our sin and he breaks us, the proper thing for a believer to do is what? Man, immediately admit that, fall to our knees and repent. To have a brokenness, a contrite, humble spirit. That every day we can have a broken spirit, a humble spirit, knowing that we desperately need God for our life. We don't just need Jesus for our salvation. We need Jesus for our sanctification or our daily living to glorify and honor God. Amen? I mean, we need him for that. Lord, I'm a sinful man, and today if I don't walk in the awareness that I've been forgiven and set free and set apart, I'll mess this day up. I'll say things I shouldn't say. I'll act in ways I shouldn't act. So God, I come as with a broken spirit, humbling myself before you, saying to you, I need you desperately today. Lead my life today. That's a sacrifice unto God. You think God would be honored by that? Absolutely. A broken spirit. Also, just our lives, our bodies is to be a sacrifice. What does Paul say in Romans 12:1? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service or worship. Our bodies are to be used for his glory. Not for our own lustful desires, but for his holy passions, for his cause, for his goodness, for his name. Lord, where do you want me to go? I'll go. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I am yours. My life is yours. Because the Christian is not in charge of their life. Because you're dead in the flesh and alive unto God. Paul said it this way, I have crucified myself. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives through me. So if it's Christ living through you, then it's not about your will and your way anymore, is it? It's about his will and his way. Well, that's a different way to live, isn't it? Oh, what do I want to do in life? What does he want you to do in life? Different question, give you different results. Do you live for your glory or his glory? Is your life a living sacrifice unto God? Is it pleasing to him? Are you open to do what he's called you to do. What else can we do to offer sacrifices of praise to him? Praise from our lips. You ready? Hebrews 13:15. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name. You realize that as we were singing praises unto God today, as the worship team was leading us in worship, as we were singing praises, lifting up the name of Jesus, we were serving and acting as living stones, making a sacrifice unto God, putting incense up to the Lord. Our praise was sacrifice, pleasing unto God. When we testify the Lord, when we share his good name, when we magnify his name, that is a sacrifice of praise, the Bible says, and that's something that we're supposed to do. What else? Our good works are a sacrifice. Hebrews 13:16, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are what? Pleasing to God. Such what is pleasing to God? Sacrifices. What? What kind of sacrifices? Good works. How many of y'all believe that the Christian life should be filled with good works? Eight of you. That's wonderful. Facebook, I hope you're doing better out there than what we're doing in here. How many of y'all believe that our life should be filled with good works? Now, good works, yeah, there we go. Let's get some hand clapping in here. Good works doesn't save us, but our salvation produces works. It should produce works. And when we do works unto God, those are sacrifices. When you help the poor, when you visit the sick, when you help people and you're just doing good works, kind works, compassionate works, those are sacrifices unto God. And here's the thing, this will help you. You're not doing it for them, you're doing it for him. Because watch this, because when you do things for people, and that's your only motivation, I want to do this for people, people will let you down. And people may appreciate what you do, or they may not appreciate what you do, right? You may give them something, be like, huh, well, they could have given more than that, right? Or you might give them something, and they may squander it. And you're like, yeah, I just wasted my money or my gift, whatever it is. Because it doesn't matter what they do with it, because you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for him. Now watch. When the righteous and the unrighteous stand before God, and Jesus will have the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And he'll say to the righteous, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And the righteous will say, Lord, when did we do this? And he will say unto them, that when you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. Anybody who gives a cup of cold water in my name will be blessed. And so when we do good works, the people that we do good works for are the better for it. They're the ones that are blessed. But we're doing that as a sacrifice unto God, as priests of God, as living stones, as a stones of sacrifice. You see how that changes the dynamic? So we are to be eager, the Bible says, to do good works. Why? Because we're serving as priests, bringing sacrifices up unto God. Here's another way that we can make a sacrifice. Y'all good? Huh? Is this good? Here's another thing. You ready? Our financial contribution, our tithes and offerings. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, when Paul is blessed by church, they financially support his ministry. Here's how he views that financial gift. You ready? I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Now, those gifts are financial gifts. That's what he's talking about. Now, look how he views these gifts. The gifts you sent, a what? A fragrant offering. A sacrifice acceptable and a pleasing to God. You see that? And so when we give of our tithes and offerings, we are acting as living stones, as stones of sacrifice, as a priest bringing a sacrifice before him and saying, God, I want to thank you for your provision. I want to thank you for what you've provided for me. I'm bringing my first fruits. I'm bringing my best. I'm bringing my tithe. And I might bring my offerings to you to give you praise because it's a sacrifice. I'm a priest of God, and this is one way that I can offer up a spiritual sacrifice unto you. And I thank you for what you have done. That changes how you view giving. And because of the sacrificial gifts of the priest of God at Living Water Church, we can continue to do the ministry that God's called us to do. The gospel can continue to be proclaimed. We can do live streaming. We can get things out. We can help people. We can start new ministries because of the saints of God people bringing their sacrifice of their faithful tithes and offerings unto God. You see how that changes? Changes everything. We are stones of sacrifice, acting as priests of God, lifting up sacrifices unto God. Prayer. Our prayer is sacrifice unto God. Revelation. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. It tells us that the prayers rose to the throne of God as incense. Our prayers go up before God as a sacrifice. It's our priestly duty to pray, to call upon his great name, to draw near to the Lord. Why? Because we have that privilege. And the priests were drawing near to God on behalf of the people. And the high priest could only once a year go into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was manifest. And now, Peter says, you are a living stone. You are the temple. You are where the Holy Spirit dwells, and we have the privilege of lifting up our prayers unto God, and we can be in his presence. Isn't that amazing? You can pray to the Lord of heaven. You don't need me. Now, I'll pray for you, okay? But I don't have special privilege to God, right? Oh, pastor, he's got a secret door to heaven. No, you can approach the throne room of God as a child of God and enter his presence. How so? Because you are a temple. You have the Holy Spirit living in you who cries, Abba, Father. Amen? Last sacrifice. I'm sure there could be more. But I know you're ready just for one more. You ready? The last sacrifice. What is that? The presentation of the gospel, the sharing of the gospel. Church world, we call it evangelism, sharing our faith, witnessing. We call it inviting here at this church. When Paul writes to the Romans, in Romans 15:16, I want you to notice how he talks about his mission to the Gentiles. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And so he writes, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service. Do you see how he connects that with the priestly duty? That his mission to the Gentiles was a priestly service. To the priestly service of the gospel of God. The gospel. a priestly service, the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles, meaning the conversion of the Gentiles, may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That when the Gentiles come and respond to the gospel and they're saved, that is a sacrifice unto God. When the gospel is preached and people hear that and receive that into receive the Lord into salvation, that is a sacrifice of pleasing aroma that goes up before the throne room of God. And so we get the privilege of participating in the week in the gospel message of a sacrifice unto God so that people can be brought from death to life. That's our duty. We had a campaign last year called Who's Your One? You all remember Who's Your One? Yeah. Adam, I think you posted yours responded to Jesus. Amen. So Adam was praying for this one individual, and this guy is an older man, and he called upon the name of the Lord at your dad's church and got saved. So, praise God, amen. That was a sacrifice. That was a pleasing aroma right there. How many of y'all still praying for that one? Anybody? Hey, don't forget them. Don't forget them. Why? They need to be saved. They need to trust in Jesus. Let that pleasing aroma, every time you share the gospel, every time you witness, every time you give a testimony, every time you pray for somebody, that's a pleasing aroma. And you, as a living stone that is being built into a holy house, everywhere you go, you are to take the Lord with you. Why? Because you are the temple and the Holy Spirit lives in you and through you. So wherever you go, the temple goes. Wherever you walk, God's there. His presence is there. It should be that when you go into your workplace, that place is changed and it's different because a priest of God just walked in that place. God's Spirit just entered that place through the Holy Spirit living in you. You're bringing Jesus to people. Your marriage ought to be different. The way you parent ought to be different. When you walk into the grocery store, it ought to be different. Why? Because a holy priest has just walked in that place. The priesthood of God. The priest of God. Everywhere we go, we're bringing Jesus with us. And we're being living stones, stones of sacrifice. And our life is being one that is offered on the altar of saying, Lord, use my life to glorify you. Because you know why? This world desperately needs Jesus. It desperately needs Jesus. It's chaotic right now, isn't it? Man, it's so crazy. Man, we've been lost our everlasting mind. I mean, everything's just, it just seems like it's going chaotic. And you know what? The only hope for people is the gospel. At the end of the day, what is it, what's your life worth investing in? And what is the cause that you're going to take up that's going to be worth investing in? I'll argue it's the gospel every time. Every time. Every time. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing. This life's short anyway. Every single person is going to die. And you're going to stand before a holy God. Now watch this. When you stand before God, God is not going to ask you these questions. Are you an American? Are you black? Are you white? Were you rich? Were you poor? He's not going to ask those questions. He's going to ask this: what did you do with my son? What did you do with the blood of Jesus? What did you do with my stone, my precious stone that I set so that you might be redeemed? Did you stumble over it? Or did you run to it? And that's what matters. where you spend eternity, that ought to matter. Where your friends spend eternity, that ought to matter. The people that you love and you care about that are apart from Christ, that if they were to die today, they would spend eternity separated from God forever in a place called hell. That ought to crush your spirit. That ought to get you broken. That's where America, that's where the church needs to hit our knees. We need to be more concerned about the people that are dying and going to hell than anything else. And what this world needs is a revival and awakening of the reality of who God is. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much is in your 401k. It doesn't matter if you lived in America or China. What's going to matter is, do you know Jesus as Lord? That's what it's going to mean to your friends. Everybody in this world is going to have to answer and stand before God. If they don't know Jesus, they're going to be crushed by that stone rather than healed by that stone. So guess what, church? Guess what needs to be primary always? The gospel. See, I read my New Testament a lot. I read it. Actually read it. Just don't post a verse here and there about it. I read it. And here's what I understand when I read the New Testament. Paul had one bullet that he shot every time. You know what that was? The gospel. That was his purpose in life. He said, I make it my aim to preach Christ and him what? Crucified. Peter, he had one bullet he shot. You know what that was? The gospel. John, the gospel. It was the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is the good news. That we're all sinners, but Jesus died so that whoever believes in him can have everlasting life. That's the good news. That's what we need to be sharing. That's what we need to be talking about. So, Living Water and Facebook. Can we use our social media? Can we use our conversations? Can we use our time for the gospel this week? Challenge, Gospel Week. Hey, Lifeway, I just started something new. If you want to contact me and we can make this a deal. Gospel Week, okay? Gospel Week. Let's focus on the gospel. Let's pray for people. Let's step in as priest of God this week and intercede on behalf of a lost and dying world and say, God, our nation desperately needs you. Help me be a person who just share the gospel. What's this week going to be? Gospel Week. Let's pray. Father, we pray for a revival. We pray for an awakening. Lord, there are people every day that are dying. And some of them are spending eternity in hell and separated from you forever. And God, that ought to crush the church. That ought to break the church's heart. Lord, we should weep. Not simply over the condition of our country right now, but over the lostness. Not only in our nation, but around the world. God, you love people from every tongue, tribe, and nation. Lord, I pray that you would continue to send missionaries out of this place to the world. Embolden them, empower them. God, I pray for the missionaries who are suffering right now, who are dying right now for the sake of the gospel. I pray for our fellow Christians who are hiding right now because of the fear of death right now if they were caught to worship. All of the underground churches, Lord, are in communist countries. Lord, let them get the gospel out. Father, may we be people who recognize that We stand upon the stone that was the great sacrifice. And we are built around that stone as living stones, making our sacrifices unto you. And may our life be one that glorifies your holy name. Lord Jesus, if there is a soul here this morning or watching us online that's never called upon your great name, today may they call upon you and trust in you. Today may they recognize that they are a sinner and that you are a Savior. And may they confess their sin and ask for your grace and mercy. May you save them today. For it's in the name of Jesus we do pray. Amen.